This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The flu virus this year is particularly nasty. It's all over the country, and it's here in San Antonio. The Centers for Disease Control says they expect the flu to be around and still infecting folks all the way up until April. That means if you haven't gotten the flu yet, it's not too late to get your shot. What questions do you have about what's going on with the flu, how to protect yourself, your family, and others? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this afternoon by Anita Kurien. She's the Assistant Director for Communicable Diseases at the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District, and Dr. David Good. He is the Texas Med Clinic Physician and a member of the Bexar County Medical Society. Welcome to The Source. It's great to have you both here in the studio today.
Glad to be here.
So, Anita, how bad is it?
Flu is, it's typically a very complex issue. And this year, it has been very tough and challenging for public health practice, for public health and for all of us, especially because we started seeing a rise in outpatient-related influenza-like illnesses much earlier than what we've seen in the seasons past. Almost 2 to 3 weeks earlier, and it has been on a steady incline. By this time, in 2014-15, which is the most recent worst year, if you might call it that way, it's moderately severe year, 2014-15, we had already peaked and we were seeing a decline. But this year, we continue to see an incline in cases, so it's worrisome.
So when you have a virus spreading like this, you think about two things. How easy is it to transmit to other people? Sometimes one flu virus can be passed through a population more quickly. And then when it does hit somebody, how hard is it going to hit them? Sometimes you get the flu and it's harder on a person than another virus. And so when we look at this particular bug that's we're focusing on, Dr. David, what are we dealing with?
That is a public health question.
So this season, the predominant strain we are seeing is the H3N2, which we've typically seen that when H3N2 is a predominant strain for a particular flu season, that flu season tends to be a moderately severe to a bad season. So it is infectious. Flu is infectious. You can get that infection within 1 to 4 days after being exposed to a person who has flu. And what was your second question?
So, I mean, is it... Because some flus pass through a population really quickly, as it passes through, and sometimes they're tougher on an individual. You know, so I'm just trying to figure out this particular bug, this Australian bug that we've got. Where are our vulnerabilities?
H3N2, and it tends to be bad for the clinical severity of the cases tend to be bad for high-risk individuals. This is very young. If you're 65 and older, if you're pregnant, if you have underlying medical conditions, you are at high risk for contracting this, running a prolonged course, and then you're at risk for developing complications as well.
We got a question via Twitter. How effective is Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at one Metro Health immunization clinic? I mean, they're wondering how accessible that is to provide these immunizations, and why was January 30th the first press release on this issue? So that brings up the issue that MetroHealth does have immunization clinics. Can you talk about that?
We do have immunizations clinic, and we've been offering immunizations vaccines since the beginning of the season. We've held number of outreach events out in the community prior to January 31st. That's when we said the press release indicated that we'll be giving out flu vaccines. So we've had a number of outreach events, but MetroHealth is not the only location where flu vaccines are available. They're easily available in your local pharmacies, in hospital settings, in med clinics, Texas med clinics, and everywhere else as well.
But so there are plenty of opportunities for people to get the immunization, but also MetroHealth has to deal with the limitations of your funding and your operating hours.
That's correct.
If you want more hours, and
we do have outreach events that are scheduled and have been scheduled since the beginning of the season, even after hours and during the weekends.
So, Dr. David Good, what does it look like when someone gets the flu? How do you know when you're the first signs that I might get the flu? I may have it. I shouldn't go to work tomorrow.
Well, my key question to patients is, do you feel like you got thrown off of a train? And if the answer is yes, then you have the flu. I don't need a flu test to confirm it. But typically, you're going to see somebody with a temperature more than 100.5 with either a cough or a sore throat, sometimes both. They tend to complain about really bad headaches, body aches, chills. Those are the primary symptoms. Some people have some GI symptoms, nausea and vomiting. People are often looking for that as a symptom, but that's not frequently one of the symptoms associated with the flu. But they just tend to ache all over and feel miserable, like they got beaten up or run over by a car or bike or something like that.
So, but when you are first exposed to the flu and you become infected, how long before you become infectious? You start giving it to other people?
It's 24 hours prior to you developing symptoms to up to 1 to 4 days. You're highly infectious with during this time frame. But if you have underlying medical conditions, you can tend to transmit that illness, transmit flu virus for a longer time frame.
So when we're talking about trying to limit the spread of the flu in San Antonio, what are the strategies that we're trying to put out there? One of them is get people to be inoculated.
Get vaccinated. That's the best strategy. It's not a perfect tool, yet it's the best tool we have to fight flu. So get vaccinated. And if you think you're coming, if you're coming down with this illness, stay home. Cover your cough, and then practice everyday preventive measures, you know, good hand hygiene, wash your hands frequently, stay away from people who are sick, step back from people who are coughing. So things like that.
Right. My problem is trying to figure out, when do I know to stay home? I mean, I was probably at least at one instance every day where I wonder if I've got the flu or not. We never know. And I said, maybe I'm getting the flu. And you say, 5 minutes later, I feel better. But how do you start figuring out, I need to really take this seriously? Because sometimes fever starts hitting you while you're at work.
Yeah.
And maybe then it's too late.
Yes, and that's the time you get off work and stay home. So we say when your fever starts spiking, when you have persistent fever, when you start coughing persistently, when you have chest pain, difficulty breathing, lightheadedness, things are not getting better but worse, those are signs that you're coming. It's not just a common cold. You're coming down with flu, and you may want to take this seriously.
And that's just, you hit the rack. You just go to the mattress and stay there. Is that the only thing we have for people to deal with the flu?
Well, let me go back to your question. You're looking for a specific indicator, and I would agree that fever is probably the best indicator. If you have fever, you need to consider that you're contagious. Granted, you may not have the fever because you have the headache when you get up and you're unsure, but if you develop it during the day, I don't think there should be any question. You're not generally for a cold or seasonal allergies. You know, we see a lot of mountain cedar at this time of year.
Yeah,
not going to have a temperature of 100.5.
We get a bad wind in here. It was the allergy.
Right.
And so it's not the scratchy throat. It's not
people a lot of times call that cedar fever, but normally there is not a measurable elevated temperature associated with that. But going back to Dr. Curran's point earlier, is that you're contagious for an entire 24 hours before you have any idea that you have influenza. That's the nature of the illness, and that's one of the big difficulties in keeping it under control. We can't isolate everybody for a day before they get any symptoms, and so they're contagious.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll answer the question, what to do when you actually get the flu, how to help you deal with that, and what are your options. And if phone lines are open, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. If you've got a question or a comment about the flu season, this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the flu activity. According to the Texas Department of Health Care Services, there have been at least 2,300 flu-related deaths in Texas alone. The flu is very nasty this year. It's tough. Have you had the flu this season? How did you deal with it? Have you gotten your flu shot? Why not? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. It's not too late to get that flu shot if you haven't. 210-614-8980. So tell me, people wondering, hey, it's too late to get the flu shot. Why do people think that, and why is that not true? Anita Curran.
Well,
Curran.
People typically think that, you know, once flu has peaked or it's the season is on the way, it's too late to get vaccinated. And I submit that flu season begins from October, runs from October through the end of May. So as long as flu virus is circulating in our community, flu vaccines are recommended. It is not too late to get vaccinated.
But it takes a while for a flu vaccination to take hold?
My understanding, it takes about two weeks for you to have immunity. I think one of the other keys, though, is my understanding about the way most flu pandemics or illnesses go is it tends to be a bimodal illness, which means we have a peak, which I hope we're near the top of that one. We may see a downturn over the next couple of weeks, but there will likely be a second, albeit not as large of a peak, several weeks down, after that. So we still have, a lot of time to go, and getting flu vaccine now, while it won't help you for another 2 weeks, it won't give you maximum protection, it's still providing you protection for some part of the year, not only to yourself, but to the public at large. The more people we can get vaccinated, the better job we can do of stopping the spread.
Let's go to the phone lines. Carolina is on the line. Carolina, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are y'all?
Okay.
My question was, if they already know which flu strain is out there, and the shots that they're giving now aren't strong enough to take care of that, why isn't it something being put out there to handle the flu strain that is there? I mean, if it's going to be all the way up until April, May, I mean, isn't there time to develop something to give the proper flu shot?
Right. Carolina, thank you so much for that great question. I appreciate that. So as we know, we have to prepare the flu vaccine in advance. And we know what the flu is going to look like this year, but then the flu's tricky, right?
Yeah. Flu is tricky. Viruses to begin with are very tricky. And of all viruses, flu viruses are very tricky. And that's why we recommend vaccination every year with a new vaccine strain. And like Carolina said, it's difficult to put out flu vaccine mid-season because of the vaccine production technology that we have in place. It takes at least 6 months to produce the vaccine in sufficient doses that we need here. So the strain season begins every October, and the strains usually picked by February, and the production starts by March, April, in order for us to meet the supply and demand of flu vaccines for the upcoming season. So it is difficult to go mid-season back and then produce vaccines with the circulating strains. But that being said, the current vaccine, it's only one, it's a quad, depending upon what type of vaccine you get, it has three or four flu virus strains in the current vaccine. And most of the vaccine effectiveness study that's come out of Canada and Australia is referring to only one of those four components of the flu vaccine strain that seem to have less vaccine effectiveness, and which is the H3N2. So overall, vaccine is still your best bet to fight flu because it does give you protection against the other three strains that are circulating, flu AH1 and the two flu B lineages out there.
Another question on the caller, and this is Mary. Hi, Mary. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm very glad to speak to you because I listen to you every day.
Great.
My son, who was 30 years old, went to work, came back, felt awful. And this stuff comes on so fast that it surprised me. He's got all the symptoms that you have been mentioning, that doctors have been mentioning, coughing, fever, very low-grade fever, and he tried to shake it off, and obviously that didn't work because I ended up having to take him into the emergency room, and they gave him an IV in order to help him weather through it. My question now is, this cough that you have with it has not gone away, and so I would like to ask the doctors if that's something that I should be concerned with.
All right, Mary, thank you for the call. So the cough, lingering cough.
Lingering cough is often a part of the flu. What I'm seeing clinically is that most of the flu symptoms will resolve in most patients within 7 days, but the cough is going to persist 3 to 5 to 7 days thereafter. So if it's simply a cough and there is no fever associated with it, then I probably wouldn't be concerned. My biggest concern with patients who get influenza is not so much the influenza itself, but that some people go on to develop pneumonia, which can often, generally the primary fever symptom is going to be a cough. In most instances, that's going to be a fever that's associated with that. So if there's cough with fever, cough with shortness of breath, those kind of things, then I would be concerned. But, you know, simply a cough in an otherwise healthy 30-year-old, I probably would not be as concerned.
So Mary talked about going to the emergency room. When do you know it's time to go?
Well, I would break that down into two different categories of individuals. We've talked about high-risk individuals, and just to reiterate,
those are elderly and people with respiratory issues?
Over 65, under age 5, pregnant women, those with diabetes, heart disease, asthma, smokers, or any serious underlying health illnesses. Those are people at high risk.
That's like 80% of the population. No. That's a lot of people.
It's like 20 to 25% of the population, okay. I would guess. But if you're in one of those high-risk categories, then the current recommendations, and I strongly endorse taking Tamiflu, which is the antiviral medication that is available for treatment of influenza. However, that medication needs to be started within the first 48 hours in order for it to be effective. If you wait beyond that window, it's not likely you're going to get a great deal of benefit. And even that being said, people need to understand the reason that they're taking the Tamiflu, at least in my opinion, is to decrease the likelihood that they're going to go forward and have side effects. You're still with Tamiflu likely to be ill for 6 days, whereas without the Tamiflu, you're likely to be ill for an average of 7 days. So you're really only getting about 1 day's worth of relief. So it's not a magic, you know, magic get better or get out of jail card free. You're still going to be ill for a while.
But Tamiflu is a prescription drug. I have to go to the doctor. He's got to write me a note to go get it. It's not the other. There's like over the counter thing that sounds like it. Theraflu.
Correct.
That's not the same thing. That's like a high dose of vitamin C or something. It's not. So we have to make sure people understand that distinction.
Correct. Many people come in saying, I've already taken that medicine, but they're taking Theraflu. Those names, unfortunately, have some similarity in the sound. And
marketing.
People get those confused, I suppose so. Although Theraflu was out before Tamiflu, so you would think it would have been the other way around.
Okay. So what about taking a high dose of vitamin C? Does that help? I mean, you hear that. Load up on vitamin C to protect you from the flu.
You hear lots of things.
Well, you know. Is that you can't overdose on vitamin C. Your body will pass through whatever
that,
you don't
that
use.
That is not. I would disagree with that statement. You can overdose on any supplement, medication, vitamin. I don't think you should regard extremely high doses of anything as perfectly safe. There is a dose at which even vitamin C will be toxic.
Still, I want to know when if you're having all these symptoms and you're in the bed and you're having the chills and you feel terrible and you're weak and you can't keep anything down, when do I say it's time for me to go to the ER?
Well, again, if you're a high-risk patient, you should go at any time. And I would suggest that rather than flooding the emergency rooms, you try checking with your local doctor or your primary care physician if you can get in, or go to an urgent care clinic or one of the multiple other options, and leave the emergency room for the severe traumas,
patients.
Heart attack, critically ill kind of people. I mean, you feel critically ill and you're going to die tomorrow, but likely that's not going to happen. But if it's been less than 48 hours and you're one of those high-risk individuals, I think you should definitely come in and be seen as quickly as possible. If you're not at high risk, and certainly if you're not at high risk and it's been more than 48 hours, I'm happy to see you. I can provide some symptomatic relief with something for your cough. But there really won't be any point in you taking the Tamiflu.
It was 100 years ago that we saw the great Spanish flu epidemic, and it was deadly, and San Antonio also saw it. It was overwhelmed the system. Are we beyond something like that? Are we just a bad flu away from having a crisis, and that this right here, what we're talking about, we're seeing emergency rooms overflowing, and we need to be reminded every so often that the flu is a serious, serious bug, virus, and we've got to take it. We got to be aware of its potential.
Absolutely, like I said, flu. We public health professionals still consider flu as one of the greatest public health challenges. It causes more deaths and illnesses than your heart disease and cancer. It causes about 9.2 to 35.6 million cases, illness cases per year, up to 56,000 deaths per year in a bad season. So this is not something that you can take lightly. It is a complex, it's a serious issue. And this has to be on your forefront every flu season. And like you said, flu, like we mentioned earlier, flu viruses mutate pretty quickly. So it's very difficult to predict when that'll happen, but we have to always, this has to be on our forefront, and this has to be taken seriously every season.
How helpful is it to wash your hands with soap and hot water for an extended, you know, a really good scrubbing?
For 20 seconds?
For 20 seconds.
I think that's the best way to break the chain of transmission of any infectious agents or germs. There's a study out there that says, you know, healthy young adults touch their face, eyes, mouth, nose for up to 400 times or higher per day. And every time you touch a contaminated surface and touch your eyes, mouth, nose, you're transmitting that germs back to yourself. So it's always, always a good practice to wash your hands thoroughly.
And so, Dr. Goode, anything to add to that?
No, I would agree. Wash your hands, get a flu shot. It's pretty straightforward.
And why do you think people, I mean, a flu shot, you're making it free, available. Do you think people, is the a fear of the needle still people have? I mean, it's not that much of a, and there's the myth that the flu vaccine is going to make you sick.
That it's many misconceptions out there. One is flu vaccine will give me flu, which is not true. The other thing, like we say, is, okay, it's not a good match. So what's the point in me taking? And we keep saying it's not a good match to one of the four components in the vaccine strain. So like I said before, it is not a perfect tool, but it is still the best tool we have out there.
These clinics that you're having now, is that a response to how intense this flu season has become?
Partly, yes. We have not seen an uptick of flu vaccines like we've done in the past. And so this is one of the, and we started seeing an incline in the cases. So the internal decision was made to remove all barriers to flu vaccines.
So how long do you think these will be going on?
Until supplies last, we have slightly over about 600 doses left.
So that's not a lot.
That's not a lot, yes.
Okay, so people need to get their vaccination on.
But again, that's at the health
just
department.
At one location.
Yeah.
But
I've gone to pharmacies when I was shopping around trying to get my flu shot, and they were telling me that several times, we're out.
Those, according to CDC, they've produced enough number of doses to last us this season. And the shortages that have been reported, it's not shortages from the manufacturer itself. It's spot shortages.
We're not seeing shortages clinically. I mean, yeah. I haven't heard anything about any flu vaccine shortages. Our clinics still have ample supply of the flu vaccine.
Okay. All right. And but so people have no excuse other than to go roll up their sleeve and take the shot. And it doesn't hurt hardly at all.
Yeah. And for those who are afraid of needles, we have those shorts with those called intradermal injections. Those needles are 90% shorter than your regular injections needles. So fear of needle is not an excuse to stay away.
And that's just as effective as the other needle?
Or yes.
So why have the long needle then?
It's different age recommendations, so it's age-appropriate vaccines available out there. So.
Okay, so we're going to keep an eye on the flu and as it goes through our emergency rooms here in San Antonio. Encourage people to get your shot, be able to wash your hands with soap and hot water, avoid people who have the flu, and if you do have it, stay home. Those are the rules, right? Are those any other takeaway that we missed? That's it. All right. Well, I want to thank both of our guests, Anita Kurian. She's Assistant Director for Communicable Diseases at the San Antonio Metropolitan Health District. Dr. David Goode, he is the Texas Med Clinic Physician and a member of the Bexar County Medical Society. This is when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about the San Antonio Book Festival. The source continues after this break.